in front of you or in your purse or whatever, grab your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Like I said, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, starting this new series. And I know I've already said what we were talking about, but pretend that I didn't, okay? Pretend that you don't know, you didn't read the cover of the bulletin, you have no clue what we're talking about today as you turn in your Bible. Maybe you think we're going to talk about the armor of God, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, and we might a little bit. But as I sat with Wanda this last week and we prayed together over worship, we planned together and we figured out what was next, she had a very interesting thought in regards to this series. She was thinking about the last series and how the last series we talked about God with us. We talked about how Jesus comes and he interacts with people who may be far from him, maybe spiritual, maybe not, maybe antagonistic. But we saw Jesus work in those relationships to draw people to the truth of who he was. And the challenge, of course, that came out of that was for us to then have those same conversations in our own life. Wanda noted that's something that you could somewhat control, but not completely. That maybe you tried, maybe you took our recommendation to take advantage of those holiday get-togethers and to have some spiritually significant conversations, but you couldn't control the response. You couldn't make sure that the fruit of your work was exactly what you wanted it to be. You couldn't make sure that those people would say, oh, please tell me more of this Jesus of yours. But now we're going into a series that if you take what we'll talk about over these next few weeks and apply what the challenge is for your life, if you do it, this is something that I can guarantee the results. Scripturally, because of the Word of God, I have the authority to tell you if you apply what we're going to talk about, you will see change in your heart and change in your life. Thank you for that, Wanda. That's really powerful. That's very encouraging. It's also very challenging to say, okay, well, this is kind of up to me. Well, no, it's not. We'll get to that this is all in the Spirit. But if you choose to pray, God promises to hear. He promises that it's through Christ that you can have access. He promises that through the Spirit, he's going to kind of intercede and let your words come to the Father. And if you ask, you will receive. And so things will happen. Hearts will change if we take the truth of what we're about to talk about and apply it to our lives. As we talked about prayer and we had a survey go out last week, remember the blue boxes in the back, please put your surveys in there as you leave if you haven't. But one of the questions that came through on the survey was, how is the Holy Spirit involved in prayer? And what was amazing to me as I thought about that question, and I thought about all of the Christian life, prayer is the one category of our faith that just straight up off the top of my head, I can guarantee that you engage the Trinity every time. We'll see that in the passage today. But more so, we just see it as we look at Scripture as a whole, that when you pray, the fact that you can even talk to the Creator of the universe is because Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, rose from the dead, beating our sins so that jacked up sinful people like Bryce can become righteous children of God. And so because of that, it says we could boldly approach the throne of grace. Jesus is our access point. Jesus tells us to pray to the Father. So every time you pray, you're speaking to the Father in my name. So God the Father, through God the Son. But this passage is going to show us that in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 talks about in the Spirit, that he's conforming our will. So it's an amazing thing to talk about. Prayer's incredible. It's an automatic engagement with that thing that blows our minds, which is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's one series that I can tell you, if you will walk out this application, you will see some things in your heart and in your reality. That said, we're going to get a little context here in Ephesians chapter 6 by just kind of reading this whole section starting in verse 10. It says this, I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We're challenged at the end of this section on spiritual warfare to pray in the Spirit. After all the equipment is laid out there, the capstone is pray. It's pray. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And so the application throughout this series is mostly going to be to pray. It's going to be to pray. That's the key, as we'll see, to victory. Prayer is not trivial. It's serious. It's our access to the Father. And so that said, as we kind of dive in today on just the encouragement to pray, let's do so. Lord God, we ask that in these next few moments, as we talk about simple things for many of us who've known you for a while, there would be things, though, that would challenge us, leading us to apply it by praying, by talking to God. Lord, cut out the distractions of the other things going on in our hearts and in our lives, and in this moment, help us to focus in on what your word would say to us today. In your name, amen. Don't talk to strangers. Stranger danger. Don't take candy from strangers. I have toddlers. I have 2 5-year-olds. I guess that's not a toddler. I have a 3-year-old, and I have an almost 10-month-old, right? And so these are things that I've taught my children. I've taught them about stranger danger. They know that at church on Sundays and on Tuesdays, they're supposed to go to the restroom with mommy or daddy. The rest of the week, do whatever you want, because we do hang out here from time to time. We have a whole nother play place right next to our house. It's great. But they don't go into places with strangers. I've taught them these things. They know that if we're at the playground, they need to make sure they can still see us. All those things. We've taught them to all of our children. We see it on Sesame Street. We've seen specials on TV that would let us know that this is a real thing. And yet there I was, walking off with a family who wasn't my own. I was somewhere in the 5 to 8-year-old range, and my family had gone to Six Flags for the day. And it was near the end of the day, and we had fun and all that, but I'm a little bobbleheaded 6-year-old or whatever, and I'm tired. And so I'm doing that kid thing where you kind of just walk and shuffle your feet, and you don't really look up. So I'm following my family, but I'm doing it based on kind of looking at the back of their shoes. Occasionally, I'm just kind of looking at their shoes, and I'm just kicking rocks and stuff and that sort of thing. And so I'm going along my way until finally I look up and I realize the shoes that I was following didn't belong to my actual family. It was somebody else. I ended up walking off with strangers. Now, I knew that there were strangers. I knew that there were bad people out there that might want to do bad things to me. I knew that my dad, at this time, I don't know if my stepmom was there or not, but my dad provided safety and security. I knew that he was the one that was taking care of me, and yet somehow I ended up in a place I shouldn't have been. Why? I lost contact with my family. I lost communication. Staring at the shoes wasn't enough to really grasp their presence, to be aware of where they were leading, and to actually follow the way I should. Prayer is like that. Our spiritual lives are like that. When you look at spiritual warfare, all this armor of God stuff we just read, we know as Christians that there's an actual enemy. We get that. Whether you're a 12-year-old who just came to know the Lord and you're trying to go to school and walk that out and kind of dealing with that tension, or you're 85 years old and life is just burdening you with some of your friends have passed, or you're somewhere in between, you know that this walk with Christ is a battle. You're battling against the enemy, and it's not your person next to you, but it's actually the enemy of the devil and evil and sin and your flesh. And there's all this stuff waging war against God and his goodness and his love and the Spirit. You know about the helmet of salvation. Man, you're all strapped up with the sword of the Spirit. You go to women's Bible study, and then you go to a small group, and you have BSF, and you go to church on Sundays. You got the word in your hand, and you've got the belt of truth. You're very sure of what's true and what's not. And yet Paul has to say, stand firm. Because far too often, I don't. Far too often, I find myself falling away from the things of the Lord into the things of the world, the devil, the flesh. Why? Why? It's because we lose contact with the commander, with the Lord, with the one who's over this whole battle, who's leading to victory. We lose contact with him, and we slip and we fall. Verse 23, it says, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Strange verse for me to say that God is the one that leads to victory, but think about it. After all this talk of spiritual battle, peace, love, and faith, that sounds like a winning team to me. Whichever person in this battle provides, that's probably the one that wins. And so who's that come from? From the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the one that will ultimately lead to victory. And as Christians, I think we believe this, we know this, or at least we want to. But when we don't stay in contact with the one who leads to victory, we tend to forget. We tend to follow other things and we tend to fall. So why pray? Why pray? Prayer, why pray is the same reason of why look at my dad's back instead of at the soles of his feet occasionally. Is because when I didn't do it, I ended up in a place I didn't want to be. Prayer is staying in contact with the one who's winning the battle. And when I look away from him, it doesn't matter how strapped up I am with all the other equipment and everything's all locked in. If I start thinking I'm just fighting this on my own, I'll fight the wrong fights. I'll walk the wrong way. Because God's like, all right, here we go. And I'm like, here we go. And I'm going the wrong way. Prayer keeps us in contact with the one who leads to victory. Why pray? You're going to follow something. When I stop praying, which I do, I stop praying. I forget to stay in contact with my Lord. When I do, I follow something. It changes from time to time. For me, a lot of times, the thing that I get following around is this. It's my phone. It's contact. It's connection. When I stop praying, a lot of times it's because of that thing distracting me, and I check that a lot more than I check in with God. I stop praying. I start getting discontented because I'm always looking for some other thing to entertain me. I get discontented as I look at other people's lives and their adventures and that sort of thing. I get disconnected from the children my God has given me who are right there. Because I'm like trying to sneak something around. Like literally, they've been in the kitchen. I've been about to walk into the kitchen. I've only left the room for like 45 seconds. The wall's right there. And I'll be like, hey, checking my phone. Because I stopped praying. I stopped following God's leading to where I should be in a given moment. And started following the leading of this little thing. Maybe it's not a phone for you. But when you stop praying, what do you start following? Is it your anxiousness? Is it you started off thinking like, all right, I'm trying to think through how to live this thing right. I'm taking in factors and I'm trying to take in the word and I'm trying to factor everything out. But in the midst of factoring all the decisions, you factor out prayer. You end up being led not by the Lord, not by a power of love, or a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, but you start being led by a spirit of fear and anxiousness. When you don't pray and you look at the things in front of you, you get overwhelmed by how much is there. A lot of these things are good. Relationships can be the thing that ends up leading you. But when you're not keeping it in prayer check, relationships become the actual leader and pleasing people and making everyone happy and trying to do everything right. I don't know what it is for you, but when you stop praying, you don't just kind of like sit there until next time you check in with God. No, you keep walking and keep living life and you're doing it without connecting to the one who leads to victory. Why pray? Because prayer keeps us connected to the one who wins. Now, if this is why we pray, why don't I pray? I realize I skipped something. I skipped the definition of prayer. There's a reason for that. One, I forgot. I didn't look at my notes. Two, the survey, you guys know what prayer is. Put quite simply, prayer is talking to God. Now, there's some details to that, and we're going to spend a lot of time in that next week. But prayer is quite simply talking to God. And so I didn't spend a lot of time defining it because everyone who filled out a survey had a beautiful answer. And if you don't know what prayer is, ask the person next to you because they probably filled out that survey. Okay? So what is prayer? Talking to God. Why pray? Because it keeps me connected with the one who is in control and leads to victory. So why don't I pray? I know not everybody in here struggles with this. Maybe you're the one. This is the category of your spiritual life that you're great with. And I believe that there truly are some of you. And that's why I'm excited to start this prayer team for Sunday mornings. I've contacted a few of those prayer warriors to kind of go on rotation praying for Sunday mornings. If you love to pray and you want to be enlisted onto this team of two people per week that starts praying over services at the beginning of the week, is available for prayer on Sundays, let me know. That said, for the rest of us who struggle with this prayer thing, why don't I pray? First thing is pride. For the non-Christian, the pride comes like this. You don't believe in God, so why would you pray? Okay, that's actually consistent. If you don't believe in God, why pray? I get it. You don't think he's there, so why would I pray? But did you know, those of you in this room who are not sure if you believe yet, not sure what you want to do with Jesus, that there's Christians who don't pray? Or at least don't pray often? I know it's crazy to you, right? Because if you're a non-Christian, you at least understand Christians believe that God's their dad and they can talk to him about anything at any time. And you understand that Christians believe that somehow this cross allows them to do all of that stuff, this Jesus guy. But there's actually Christians who struggle to pray, and some of them just straight up quit. And I think the reason is this. We look at our faith and we think that Christianity starts with salvation, and that's where I need Jesus. It kind of picks up again a lot when I die and go to be with him, but the in-between is where I'm supposed to, like, you know, really lock in and work out my salvation with fear and trembling to the point where working it out means I do the effort. You mix into that my American ego of I can get it done. Yes, I'm using I because now I'm talking about me, but maybe I'm talking about you too. You mix in this, like, suck it up, buttercup, like, you know, lace up your shoe. Let's go. Let's get this done on our own. And I don't pray sometimes because I'm so caught up in my ability to handle things and trying to prove to myself that I have things under control. Some of us don't pray because we're prideful. We want to prove we can do it. Others of us don't pray because we don't believe prayer works. We'll talk about this throughout the series a little bit of how it does. I could tell stories. I could tell stories of my mom, Carol, my stepmom, the one that you know, though. When she became a Christian in her teens, cigarette addiction, her whole young adult life, said, hey, can we pray for this with her sisters? And they're like, yeah, sure. Prayed, never wanted to smoke a day in her life. Her next sister becomes a Christian because they're praying that she would become a Christian. She becomes a Christian. They pray over her because she already in her 20s has developed an extreme case of rheumatoid arthritis. And they pray for healing, and it's gone forever. Prayer works, but sometimes we're not sure it does. Next week, we'll talk about what it means for it to work, but it does. What I would challenge you to do over this series is go to one of those Bible studies, go to one of our small groups, go somewhere, go to lunch with someone in this room, and just ask them, how have you seen prayer work in your life? We'll do that at our small group tonight. I look forward to it. So if you need to have that conversation, 5 o'clock at my house, feel free to come by. That'll be one of the parts of our small group this evening. There's other reasons and we'll get to it. But let's pretend for a second that you don't pray. That one of those reasons might be the reason or another one. But the question that would then be next is, what happens when I don't pray? If I don't pray, what's the big deal? I know I already kind of got into it with the distraction stuff, but let's kind of go to the text and see how that might be true. First thing, we get distracted. Verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. When I don't pray, I don't stay alert to God's presence, to God's care, and to God's will for where I am in those moments. There's a baby in this room doing exactly what I'm going to talk about here. Is that Malachi? Cool. All right, so for those of you who have had kids, right, they like to make noise sometimes when they don't know you're there. Now, right now, they very much know their loving parents are in the room. But Isaiah is still one of those rear-facing kids, right? In the cars, he has to face backwards when we drive. And so we've gone on dates with him. We've finally gone on dates without him. We should do that more often. But we've gone on dates with Isaiah, and we'll drive for a second, and the older kids are noisy and obnoxious and ask us to play stuff on our DVD player, and it doesn't even work, and all this stuff. But Isaiah's quiet until he wakes up, and he doesn't know where he is. And then he sends out little, starts small. You think it's like a noise in the car. Then you hear it again. And if you're a parent like me, there's been times where you forget that you have kids in the car. Like, it just happens. And then you remember, oh, wait, it's him. And you're like, we're still here, little buddy. We're here. It's okay. And if you're fortunate, he's okay with that. Sometimes he's not, right? But he sends out these little checks. When your kid can't crawl and you leave them in the playroom with some age-appropriate toys, right? And they're on the floor doing their thing, you'll hear them call out to you. And what they're doing is trying to stay alert to your presence. Prayer is often like that for us. It keeps us alert to the fact that God is there, that he cares, that he has a plan for what's about to happen. And when I don't pray, I'm not aware of those things. I don't think God cares. I don't think he's present. And I start doing things that really aren't his will. If you don't pray, you get distracted. If you don't pray, you get weak. Paul asked them to pray for his boldness in verse 19. Also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the gospel. He's asking for strength through prayer. In chapter 3, verse 16, he's in the middle of a prayer for them. And he says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Prayer strengthens us, so when we don't pray, we get weak. Maybe not physically, maybe, but maybe not physically. Often it's just spiritually and emotionally and focus-wise, right? It's like, there's probably a group of you in here today who didn't eat breakfast. Anyone not have any food so far in your system? Okay. That's sad. I got a really cute cake back there. All right. Some of y'all didn't eat breakfast. But those people who didn't eat breakfast, how many of you guys like haven't eaten since Friday? And no one in this room hasn't eaten in a week. No one in a month. Because food is our fuel. Spiritually, prayer is our fuel. Along with the Word of God, the Word and prayer keep us fueled, keep us strengthened. And so if you're not praying, you're spiritually weak. You're waiting on showing up at church for me to say something clever that you've never heard before. Guess what? This book hasn't changed that much. I'm probably not going to say something you've never heard most weeks. But the Holy Spirit might reveal stuff to you in your prayer life. I know he can use, I'm not saying he can't use sermons. I'm not saying he can't use Bible study. But if all you're looking for your fuel ups are times with other Christians, you're missing a great source of strength. Which leads to the last one, you're missing out. Prayer allows us to ask the Father for our needs. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about it like this. He tells us to ask anything of the Father in his name. Right? He says, ask and you'll receive, knock, and the door will be opened to you. And then he talks about like how many of you guys as daddies, if you went to him and you said, hey, can I have some bread? Would be like, yeah, here's a rock. How many of you would go to your father and say, hey, can I have a fish? And they'd be like, yeah, here's a snake. No, they wouldn't. And if your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father give good gifts? God provides our needs. But scripturally, I see a truth that God goes above and beyond that when we ask. And when we don't ask, I really do think we miss out. If you aren't praying, you're crippling your ability to fight this fight. You're distracted, you're weak, you're missing out on things. But most of us, like I said, know that. And maybe it's not that you don't pray because you're prideful. Maybe it's not that you don't pray because you don't think it works. Maybe you actually do think it works. You know you need it. But maybe you don't pray because you feel like you don't know how. Maybe you feel like you don't know how to pray. For those in the room who are struggling with that, I'd encourage you with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It's going to be our final sermon on this. Very appropriately so. Says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, transforming the prayers of our heart to the will of the Father. And so the Holy Spirit, this whole praying in the Spirit is very important because it means show up and start talking to God. You don't know how to do it? Do it. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who does it through you. So if you don't know how to pray, be encouraged that you don't have to have it all figured out. But we do have ideas. There's going to be a how to pray sermon in a couple of weeks. We're going to give you lots of opportunities. That prayer survey box also has a bunch of note cards next to it. Take that and fill out your prayer requests. And every week throughout this series, on Wednesdays at 10 a.m., I'm going to be in the library, in the hallway, praying over y'all. And I'll pray specifically for any of those requests that come in. You can put your name on it. I'll call you. We'll pray together about it. You can show up. Even if you just want to show up and pray for other people, you don't have to have a request. Just show up. I'm there. The doors are open. Can't come? Pray in your office. Pray at home, wherever you are, 10 o'clock on Wednesdays throughout this series. Fill out prayer requests and put them in. At the back of the sanctuary on your way out today, you'll also receive a prayer guide. Sunday through Saturday, every week. It's the same every week. Same seven categories on this sheet that every day is going to show you something that we can pray for together, a verse that backs it up and encourages you a way to pray. I would love it if all of us in our church family would just spend 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes praying for those same categories together over these next few weeks. So I'd encourage you to actually take that and use that. Lots of opportunities to learn. So if you don't know how to pray, keep going. And let's try to figure this out together. But let me give you some practical. We're going to wrap this thing up with something. Let's not wait for like 2 weeks from now to give you something on how to do it, okay? I don't want to leave you hanging like that. So let's talk about what can you pray for. Again, simple things. But what can you pray for? Verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. I think you could pray for everything. I think you should pray for everything. You talk to your spouse about everything. Why would you not talk to the lover of your eternal soul about everything? I think you could pray about anything and everything. As it comes to your mind, you pray for it. Philippians chapter 4 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," which is asking and requesting, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." So pray about everything. Okay, but let's get more specific. First, we can praise God. That was there in Philippians chapter 4, right? It said make your requests, but it said do it with thanksgiving. Do you know there's times where I've had as great of news as my father-in-law not having cancer anymore, and I didn't share it when the microphone was passed because everyone else was requesting really deep stuff or I was distracted by whatever. But that's one thing in this room. But when we fail to thank God and praise God for things that he's doing, even in our personal prayer life, man, that's an annoying relationship if you're on the other end. Like if you only came to your spouse or your best friend when you had beef with them or something you wanted from them, it won't be fun. God calls us to say, praise me, thank me, glorify me. And it's okay and it's appropriate because he's God. So prayers of praise. Confession of sin. We sang this song today about confessing our sin, and that's appropriate. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 says, "The Lord is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness." It doesn't mean we're not forgiven at the cross of every sin we've ever committed, will commit. No, if you trusted Christ, you're forgiven. Confession, though, keeps us keyed into the beauty of that forgiveness and to our daily need for Christ. Confess our sins. Requests. Okay, you can ask God stuff. He's not annoyed with that. He asks you to do it. How many times have you had someone who's like gone all around ways of asking you for something, but never just came to you and said, hey, this is what I really would need. This would be really helpful. How many of you had a spouse like you were trying to figure out if she wanted a gift or not get a gift or whatever, and she really had something she wanted, and you're just like, why didn't she just tell me what you wanted, right? Requests. God wants us to just come to him and tell him. Yes, he knows, and we'll get into that next week. But he wants to be asked. Needs, desires, boldness, direction, all those requests. Other Christians. Verse 18, to that end, keep alert. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We need to be praying for each other. One of the biggest lies told on every Sunday morning in churches across America is, I'll be praying for you. Because how many times have you said that and not prayed for the person? Some of us are really good at remembering. I'm not, so sometimes I'll say, can I pray for you? And we'll pray right then. I write it in my planner, put it in my phone, do something so that you actually remember I committed to pray for people and I'm going to. Even if you don't know why yet, start doing it, okay? We'll get to the whys a little bit over the series, but It's all over the Bible that we should pray for each other. There's a one day in your prayer guide that's all about that. So pray for other Christians. Pray for non-Christians. Verse 19 through 20, he's asking for the boldness to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to. Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. I love doing that one on Tuesday nights. Man, that's my favorite thing to talk about on Tuesday nights, other than just straight up gospel, is to talk to our teens about turning the other cheek, about loving our enemies, about forgiving those who sinned against us, because it's hard. And they'll be honest about how hard that is. Adults, it's okay. Be honest. It's hard. But we're called to do it. Are you praying for enemies and friends who don't know Jesus? Pray about everything, but here's some things that you can pray for. In 2012, I was finishing up my schooling at Covenant Seminary. Thank you all for your generosity in supporting me with scholarships. Need to make sure that you know that. Extremely helpful for me and my wife to be able to get that education, to let you guys back us up as we went through that process and give me opportunities to speak and to lead ministry and all that. But in 2012, it was my second to last semester, and I had to have a class on Tuesday nights, which stunk. Tuesday afternoons. I didn't get out until 4:30, 4:45, and youth group back then started at 6. So I would always be sitting in traffic, stressed. I had to take from 270 all the way up around the horn, and I always get stopped somewhere. Some weeks it wasn't that bad. Other weeks it was awful. It got to the point where I was running so late and getting so stressed that I realized I had a couple of options. If I was being spiritual, but I just come from seminary, so I was burned out, right? But if I was being spiritual, I could sit in my car and just be like, "Ah, Lord, what a wonderful time to pray." And I could have prayed. The other thing I could have done was like really weird stuff. I could have like unrolled the window and like asked the guy next to me, like, "What's up with this traffic?" And he'd be like, "Oh no, why are you talking to me?" And I could do, if I had a passenger with me, we've all done the like pull over in the shoulder and say like, "What's it look like up there, dear?" None of that would be that helpful. The prayer would be good. But this was before I had data on my phone. This was before we had GPS in all of our phones. The one thing I could do was I could call my wife who was at home. I could call Casey and I could say, "Hey, traffic, I think, is going to be a mess. Can you go on traffic.com and check it out?" And so she'd go on this website back in the day that you had to do all of 4 years ago, five almost, that, and she'd go on and she'd see where the backups were and whether it was green or yellow or whatever or red. And she'd say, "Oh, it's not that bad. Stick it out." Or she would say, "No, it's pretty rough. Take 70 to 170 and go around that way, or get off at Lindbergh," which she would never say because Lindbergh's awful, right? But she would give me the status report of the entire journey because she could see the whole thing. If you're not praying, you're not talking to the commander of the whole battle. You're not talking to the guide of the whole journey. You're not talking about to the one who can see everything. And you get stuck in yourself, just sitting in your little car of life, being like, "Oh, this," blah, 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 and you don't know which way to go, and you get anxious and fearful and fall into sin and do all these things. You even spend time in small groups talking to all your friends about what should I do with this thing in my life and that sort of thing, and it's during prayer requests, but you never get to that part. And you're talking to the people on the road next to you. And prayer is like God saying, "Hey, call it in. Call it in. If this is a spiritual battle, I see the whole field. If this is a spiritual journey, I see the whole road." When we're not talking, we're failing to communicate with the one person who sees it all and who is victorious over everything we will face. I'm not saying we're going to get this all perfect, but I would love to walk with you on a journey over the next few weeks of praying together and seeing what God can do with that. Will you pray with me now and over these next few weeks? Heavenly Father, we know we should pray, and yet we don't as much as we'd like to or as much as we should. Phones distract us, worries distract us, friendships distract, all sorts of things pull us away from talking to you, and you're just there. We could talk to you if we close our eyes and bow our heads, or if we're just walking around, driving, whatever. You're there, and you say, "Hey, talk to me." I pray we would. Pray we'd want to grow my own heart towards longing to speak with you and pray to you. Help us over these next few weeks to realize you hear, you understand, you answer, and it's worth it. But even in this first week, I pray that we just start diving into what it might look like to pray to you at all times. In your name, amen.